This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Mail it in Friday, brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca, the place to buy and sell all things sports. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Just a clever name, though. We're not mailing it in today because Sheldon Keefe is going to be on the show at 6 p.m. So we've spoken with Sheldon many times in the past.
I might coast until 6.
You're going to mail in the rest of this hour?
Well, we've got a pretty big hour.
We got a big hour. We got Ray coming up. I think Michael Lombardi might join us, our NFL insider. We got a massive, massive weekend of football.
Future headlines.
Future headlines. We've got to give away a pair of Maple Leaf tickets.
Ooh.
We're going to be throwing out an Instagram handle at some point this hour, and then you're going to have a chance to call in for basically the best prize going.
Right.
4-day trip down to Florida to see Toronto take on the Panthers, the Lightning, full accommodations.
Impressive stuff.
Pretty money, late February. At that point, again, Sheldon Keefe will be the coach. Do you think by late February the Leafs will be in a playoff spot?
Yes. I do. I'm not that far off right now. They're not 13 points out of the playoffs.
No, I know that.
A playoff spot is a wild card spot. They're not far out of a wild card spot right now.
Yeah, I think they'll creep up in there rather quickly.
That's a long way away.
Yes.
Yeah, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot. Now, all these teams around them have games in hand.
I understand that, but there is going to be ebbs and flows. Like, more... If you said they'd be in the top three, that's a little bit, it could be. I think they could be there. But I'm just telling you right now, I think they will be in a playoff spot.
End of February. Around the trade deadline.
Sure.
Okay. I'm on board with that. I thought they would be in
September.
I don't
think it's ridiculous.
I understand that. But I guess what I'm saying is, yes, they played well last night. They won. Seemed to have a different attitude.
Yeah,
Sheldon Keefe. But let's not forget about what just happened.
Correct.
Prior to the win last night, they were 9-10-4. They lost 6 in a row, looked defeated.
Correct.
Sheldon Keefe is going to bring a different message, a different approach. He's going to deploy the players differently.
Right.
But there's still question marks in terms of what this team is capable of doing. And until they prove it,
right,
the jury is still out. Now, they're not alone in that. Montreal's got to prove that they can get back to a playoff spot.
Correct.
They weren't last year. Florida's got to prove they can stay this consistent.
There is so much parity in the league and so many swings of momentum up and down.
That's
who the hell knows what's going to happen? Who knows when the streak's going to happen right before the playoffs come and a team's going to be out that look like they're dialed in?
I read an article this morning on how Mark Bergevin is stockpiling cap space. I don't know if you saw that. Like, he's sending players down for like a day at a time. You know, if you're eligible, go down so he could save like $8,000 on the cap. And he's already going to have a massive amount come trade deadline. And all the speculation is that he may go in on a guy like Taylor Hall at the deadline, you know, because he can absorb that and other teams wouldn't be able to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smart play. It is a smart play, but that's other teams are, you know, teams are jockeying right now. Like, that's the Leafs made a massive move the other day. And it sent a ripple effect throughout the league. Now, all of a sudden in Calgary, they're going, man, let's see how the reaction, the Leafs react in that bump up and if they can get going again. And you know, Calgary will be looking at things. Dallas looked at things a little bit a couple weeks ago. All of a sudden, they're rolling.
Is there, I guess, there's no dynasty right now because it can't happen in hockey. The closest thing we've had in the past 15 years with Chicago winning 3 cups in, I think, six years.
Yes.
That's about as close as you can get.
Yeah.
New England, we know, exists. New England is a dynasty. They have been for the better part of 2 decades.
Correct.
They're 9-1. They got a tough game this weekend. But they're a team everyone wants to track, even if you're not a fan of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State was that for a handful of years in the NBA. But it's kind of interesting how the NBA and the NHL are starting to mirror each other a little bit. Like, in terms of, I think there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. More so, more extreme probably in the NHL. But there isn't that one team in the NBA you're dying to watch. Like, when they roll through town, there's players. And I want to see LeBron.
It was Golden State. It was LeBron.
Absolutely.
Now,
Lakers now.
I don't know. Are they there? I think it's more LeBron, though. You know, like, yeah, Anthony Davis, I guess I want to go see him play. You know, Kyle Kuzma, Danny Green will be back. That will be somewhat nostalgic. But ultimately, it's LeBron and the Lakers that I'm going to see.
But are you seeing, sorry to interrupt, more of a trend? Like, I don't think the NBA or the NHL are side by side in the way that big name players are all of a sudden like, Kawhi signs a 2-year deal. If I don't like what I'm out. We're seeing.
No, we haven't hit that point in the
NHL. We haven't hit that point in the National Hockey League where, I mean, Tavares did. But outside of that, can you think of anybody else? It could be Taylor Hall. Leaving New Jersey.
And they're setting him up to do that.
But he's not a long-standing...
No, he's been there for 3 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Where do you stand on that, Ray? Like, I think we'd all like to see more player movement. It just makes it more interesting. But do you think that could get to a point where not quite to the extent that we see in the NBA, where got like 15 superstars are moving every right. summer? But, you know, two or three every summer are like, get me out of here. I want to move on.
Well, it's funny because it would take a completely different mindset of the players. Like Noodles just mentioned the 2-year deal, right, that Kawhi can bolt in 2 years. Right. Players in hockey, I think the fear of injury prevents taking a short-term deal. That if you've got, you know, $50 million offered to you, that you might not walk on that and take a shorter deal because you could get $60 million in 2 years. You know, like if we're talking about the top end guys, I don't see the hockey culture changing that much that it would come closer to the mindset of like the NBA guys do.
Yeah.
I think the fear of injury is less in that sport. I mean, maybe I don't quite understand it as much, but there's no way those guys get hurt as significantly as hockey players would. I mean, some of the injuries notwithstanding a torn ACL and stuff like that.
But even those guys will get paid. Like Kevin Durant tore his Achilles, and he got a max deal. He's not playing this year.
No, they're paying him to sit at home.
Yeah,
he is one of those exceptions, though.
Of course. And there are certain, like if McDavid was a UFA and blew out his knee right before that, every team would still say, what's it going to take? Mm-hmm. Like, of course. And that obviously is Durant. It's an extreme example. But there isn't a dynasty in the NBA this year for the first time in 5 years, because Golden State represented that. There hasn't been a dynasty in the NHL for a long time, like the truest definition of a dynasty. Would you like to see one, Ray? Like, would you like to see one team?
I think it's good, Brian. I do, because I think it's, you know, people start to cheer against the dynasty. It brings a passion, something to focus on, as opposed to, I don't know, how many teams legitimately could win the Stanley Cup this year? 15?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just off the top of my head, but I got to think there's a dozen anyway that you go, yeah, I could see that happening if they stay healthy and they get hot and blah, blah, blah. But it's like in the NBA, there's five. Seems like in the past, there's been five.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe even less than that.
But I don't see with this cap era there being a dynasty, because guys going to get paid and you have to cycle through.
Well, let me phrase it this way then. Because if you beat Golden State during the regular season, it was celebrated with like a parade.
Right.
Is there a team in the NHL where if you get them on any given night?
It was Tampa last year.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess Tampa would have
represented 62 wins. Like that was a unicorn,
like
beating
the Islanders right now.
Yes.
Because they're 15-0-1 in the last 16. But
not exactly the
same. Yeah,
sex
but nobody would think of that the same, would they?
No, not even close to beating Golden State. Like Golden State won 73 games in a season. 73.
But then they backed it up with championships and going to the finals and that.
Right.
I just don't see it in hockey the way the cap is managed. Players that have success all of a sudden either become unrestricted and get overpaid by other organizations, or to keep those young players, you got to pay them. That was the big narrative in Toronto was, you're paying Austin Matthews and John Tavares and Mitch Marner and William Nylander money that Chicago paid Taves and Kane and all that. Well, they have the cups and Seabrook and Keith. You're paying these guys before success, where the other players have been paid after success.
And I'm sure the owners are pretty torn on that, because now they used to be able to say, okay, we'll get our young guys, we'll keep them under control, we'll keep them at a low wage, a relatively low wage, we'll be able to manage our cap that way. Now you get these guys into their second contract and they just, you know, they just blow right through it. The second one's a huge deal in a lot of cases, or they get a deal like McAvoy signed this summer, where, you know, it's 3 years, $15 million, but I think the third year, $7 million. So to get a qualifying offer in year four, you know, you're bouncing way through what number they might normally be at. It's a pretty dicey game they're playing because they run out of cap space in a hurry. You look around the league, how many teams really have any? I mean, Montreal does, but there's not very many that do.
Ray, what did you make of what you saw last night from the Maple Leafs? Is it kind of crazy? Yeah, it's...
They were pretty happy with themselves, with the new,
I guess, Travis atmosphere. Dermott's comments in warm-up when he got interviewed. He was like, yeah, it was the right play to fire the coach. I was like...
He's got five rings, though. He can say that.
I thought that was...
It was the right play. Yeah. We're going to move on here. I was like, what a great comment.
Well, the one thing I don't think it took too much to see was, like, they were just so much more unpredictable or aggressive or, you know, like, creative. And I was thinking about this a little more, like, you know, there's, you know, we've talked a lot about, well, they better get it right, you know, the way they built this team, they better get it right, and they, you know, and Dubas better get it right. It's got his coach. Every GM does the same thing. I think what makes this so unique is both Dubas and Keefe are so young. Because when Brian Burke took over in Anaheim and he let Babcock go, he hired Randy Carlyle, who he'd had before. Like, he trusted him. He knew what style of game he was going to play. They were on the same page. Right? Like, Dale Tallon, he had an opening at coach. He went and got Joel Quenneville because he knows Joel. He knows how he coaches. He knows how he is. Everybody's going to default, I would think, to the guy that they know and trust and think they can see the game the same. And so, you know, it just sounds different coming from Kyle because he's so young, but really he does. And his vision is different than others, but it's really what every other GM says. Basically, this is the team I want. This is the team I want to build, whether it's bigger or stronger or older or whatever, but they build the team they want. And in some places, it's a spectacular failure, and in other places, it works. And we're going to have to see here. But last night was different. It just looked different, and you know, I can't imagine anybody was too unhappy to see Tyson Barrie score. Like, I mean, that couldn't have played out any better for them.
Yeah, we said that earlier. Like the narrative wheel, everything was hit except for the backup goalie playing last night and getting the win. But Barrie scores, their PK goes perfect, Matthews scores on the road, they score first. Like, everything we've been focusing on and complaining about was all thrown out the window in, you know, 60 minutes of hockey. But you were on benches for a long, long time. Do you believe in, you know, the mood of a bench and how it applies to the standings by the end of the year?
Well, I do. If everybody was grumpy and pissed off and felt shackled and overbearing to them, if that's how they felt, then yes, it can matter a great deal. Because the best teams, they don't have to love their coach, but they've got to feel like they can. I think you've got to feel like you can play, that you're not, you know, robotically wandering around the ice there. And I told you guys, you know, like, there's lots of times there, like, the guys, to me, it was a very quiet bench. It was like they were just watching a movie out there. It didn't, you know, and I don't know if it was any more vocal last night, but they sure looked like they were super engaged, and I wouldn't say that's been the case over the last few weeks.
Ray, do you think Sheldon Keefe kind of has to, relatively soon, without looking like it's staged, like, drop the hammer so these young kids don't think it's like, oh, feel free with the puck and... Like, just so he, like, he can send a message to say, this is just, I'm not some joke of a young coach. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Don't you think, oh, like, that'll present itself pretty quickly?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, the guys will get to the point, because we're all the same, where you're thinking you're the Harlem Globetrotters, and then guys that shouldn't be making those plays are trying those plays.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, that'll be the perfect teaching moment or the alarm clock moment to say, hey, guys, like, this isn't summer hockey, right? Like, this is what we're trying to do. You do have freedom with the puck, but you don't have freedom to do that, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. I think that'll pop up pretty quickly itself.
We had Joel Quenneville take over in St. Louis, and it was Q's first time as a head coach, and very laid back, a lot like Sheldon. And Craig Conroy, who was really good at that time, our third-line centerman, tried something, and a word came out of Q's mouth behind the bench that kind of stopped everyone. And we all were like, okay, this guy's pissed. Like, it was a jarring word, but ultimately it was it let everyone know. Like, kind of like what you're talking about, where, like, okay, this guy's mild-mannered, but he's not going to accept what's going on out there.
Yeah, it's not daycare. I mean, you're professional athletes, and like we talked about this off the top at four, listening to them, I don't think this is dancing on his grave. We know who Babcock was. We know what his approach was. Like, he'd harp, and he was old school, and he'd be grading.
Yeah, chip.
Now, he won a cup doing that, two gold medals. I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame someday. So it has worked for him. But clearly these guys were prepared for a different voice and a different approach. But by the end of the year, a couple of these guys are going to hate Sheldon Keefe. Like, he's still a coach. He's going to take some guys out of the lineup, and they're not going to be like, well, it's right. Sheldon, so I'm okay with this.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
that's not going to happen.
There's a great old coaching thing about, you know, you got 20 players, you know, 21 players, 7 players love you, 7 players hate you, and your job is to keep the 7 that are undecided away from the 7 that hate you.
Right.
Right.
Because it's never going to be perfect. It just, somebody's not going to play as much as they want, or they're going to be on a line that they don't want, or something's going to happen. And I think it's also important, though, although he's 38 or 9 or whatever he is, that he's been coaching for 15, you know, almost 15 years, right? And at whatever level, he's had to run into the same sort of thing. This, of course, the stakes are higher than they've ever been. And his management of people skills, his management of ice time, management of the media, it'll all get tested. I mean, talk to anybody, and they always say the same thing. Yeah, Toronto's different than anywhere else.
Well, Sheldon Keefe will join us at 6 p.m. We brought up the analogy between Keefe and Colleton in Chicago. Now, he was taking over a team that had won 3 cups. The Leafs obviously have not won a round in a long time. But he's a different coach than Joel Quenneville. He's got different tactics, different ideas. They decided to dress 11 forwards, 7 defensemen. And Jonathan Toews was asked about that after the game, and here's what JT had to say.
I don't know. I mean, things were going pretty good with the 4 lines and the lineup that we had. So I have to ask the coaches on that one.
That doesn't sound like good guy Jeremy Colleton. Great to have you. Like, that's just a point. At some point, Tavares or Matthews, it doesn't mean they hate on the guy.
No.
But they're going to say, I don't know what Sheldon was doing. What the hell was he doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Yeah, see, I think there is one difference, though, and I might be wrong, but when Jeremy Colleton was hired in Chicago, outside of Brent Seabrook, who played with him on a team, I don't think anybody would have had a clue who he was. Right? Like, he was just, you know, he was at one camp, and he was coaching in Rockford of the American League. And these guys, most of them have been around Keith in multiple training camps. A lot of these guys played for him already. I would think he's got a little bit of collateral built up that Colleton wouldn't have yet. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a time when he's going to have to butt heads with one of his star players. And if it does come to pass, well, it's certainly not been, or it wouldn't be unfamiliar, because you know that was going on anyway, right? Like, it's not like a team with Babs coaching is an unstressed team, right? Like, there's lots going on there.
Speaking of which, what do you think is going to happen in Calgary?
Yeah, they've been shut out 3 out of 4 times. You know, it sounded like, I saw Brad Treliving's statement today. I just got off the plane, and you know, where he says, you know, point the fingers at management, and it's, you know, the star players aren't going anywhere. But there feels like something has to change. And if it's not the coach, which he said the coach is not going anywhere, and it's not the star players, that means, like, they're just going to stay, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you trade a third pair defenseman. That's not changing the ball game. So I just can't believe they're going to sit there and wait this out too much longer. I mean, they're getting steamrolled here, yet they're not that far away from being a playoff team because the way the league is. But I don't know. It just seems something just doesn't seem right there. I mean, I don't have an answer to whether Peters would be in trouble or not, but after a while you can support somebody, and then you just keep getting your teeth kicked in, and something's got to change. I mean, they've been, even if you go back to the start of the year, guys, Peters was talking about issues in their play, how many chances they gave up, all that stuff. He was talking about it 3 weeks ago.
If you don't get organized in your own zone, you get your head kicked in.
Right. Yeah. And guess what's happening?
Yep, they're losing bad.
That's like it's an ugly look right now in Calgary.
Well, it's all about results. I mean, you can have all the lip service. That's what we saw here. You know, even remember the Leafs had won when they got that weekend game. Remember
three in a row they won.
Won three in a row, but it didn't look good. And we were kind of saying, yeah, you know what? You on the show, you're 9-5-3.
It's almost so like every team except the Islanders have gone through some ugliness this season already.
Sure. Yeah, Washington. Boston had it. Boston lost 4 or 5 in a row.
But they got points during those.
And that's damage control. Four or five, and you leave it at that.
But that's what's happening here. Like, forget St. Louis now. No, we're done with the St. Louis comparison. Now it's Dallas.
Right.
That's like we have a comparison within this season. It's like, well, look at them. They were 1-7-2, and now they're 12-1-1.
Montgomery could have easily been fired in Dallas.
Easily.
They were so garbage at the beginning.
And they didn't do anything.
But I think that's where it's a good lesson for people that yell and scream daily. Sometimes the people in management are like, let's ride this out here. Take a step back. And it's tough.
Well, I ran into Jim Neal yesterday, and I was talking to him, catching up on a few things. And I said, man, what's the biggest difference? He's like, we could have won 3 or 4 of those ones when we were 1-7-1. And he goes, and now we're playing much better, but, you know, like, we could lose a couple of these, too. Like, his point was, you know, you're going to win some, you're going to go on stretches because the league is so tight where you win a bunch of games in a row, and then when you start to lose, you have to hope that you don't give all those points back. And they got out of it in Dallas, and, you know, I was there last night, and they were up 3-0, looked like they were in control of the game, and then all of a sudden it's 3-3. And yet they get another big goal, and they look really confident right now. But are they going to be, you know, they're not going to go 26-2-2. Like, at some point, they're going to hit it. They're going to stub their toe and give a bunch of points back.
Right.
So, I mean, Toronto can get to a respectable point total for sure. But, I mean, I can see why everybody's so excited, but there's lots of work still to get done before they can get there.
Well, I said earlier, Ray, I think what they ultimately need is to reset twice. This is the first one, Babcock out, Keith in. The next one is you almost have to do what Dallas has done or close to it, get yourself back to where you thought you were supposed to be. Then you reset. Then you're comfortable again to an extent, and you don't want to let that get carried away. But if you get back to a 100-point pace in a playoff team, you're like, all right, now it's behind us officially.
Right.
It won't be officially behind you if you're still on pace for 92 or 93 points, because that's not going to cut it.
You know, as you were saying that, I just had this thought, Brian, like there's going to be a time, whenever it is, in 3 weeks or a month, when Sheldon Keefe won't be the new coach. He'll just be the coach. And the gloss will be off it. You know, guys will have bumped heads once in a while, or they'll have their ice time kicked down a notch or two, because, like, right now, like, it was perfect last night. Like, it couldn't have been any better. But in short order, I thought Al Arbour was the best coach I ever played for. There were days I just could not stand to look at him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I have had it with him. And I'm sure the days were much more on his side.
Yeah.
Right? Where he's like, man, that guy sucks. Terrible.
Yeah, he'd love seeing you walk into the ring.
He'd let you know it, though. That's the thing. Like, he had a way about him.
Like, oh, this
sure.
guy's still on my team. This is great.
Ray, your boy Brian Hayes, of all the people in Toronto, where do you think he ranks as influential Torontonians? Where do you rank Brian Hayes?
How long is the list?
Well, 6 million people.
No.
Just
is it a top 100 or something?
There's There's a top 50 that just came out courtesy of a magazine here in Toronto. Very reputable magazine here
in
Toronto.
Top 50? So top 50?
Yeah.
51.
Yeah, you were listening.
He was listening.
That's exactly where I
Rappler
landed.
Rappler told him.
No,
that's why.
I wasn't. I just thought there's top 50. I'm like, oh, wouldn't have asked me that question if you were in the top 25 of that list.
Well, and Ray, if I was, you would have known it by now. It would have been all over my Twitter account, Instagram. I would have had a billboard on the Gardner.
Yeah.
Like, believe me. You would have known, but I just missed, apparently. We had the editor on earlier. He said I was 51st. Very influential guy. So. Take that for what it's worth.
What I want to say about that is don't forget, like, we always complain about putting in our top 50 players for the NHL, how when we get to the bottom, we don't know what the hell that we're doing.
Yes.
Right? It's kind of a guess that they're trying to put them. So let's not flatter yourself here. You could have been 51 or 68. Nobody knows.
Well, and what's important to point out is when they were just finishing the list, they did say he's definitely not in the top 50.
Like, they're
like, I like that. Yeah, I like him, but I'm not putting him in.
Right. You could be 51st or 851st.
All
it
the
doesn't
same.
Matter.
Top 500.
Yeah, he said, oh, and I don't even think he knows I'm on the show. He didn't even acknowledge me once.
Yeah, well, he thinks you're from Edmonton.
So what does that matter?
So I guess you don't count.
I'm a Torontonian.
Yeah, well, that's true. Whatever. Yeah, you should be included.
That's fine.
Wouldn't he be?
I defended his publication yesterday, did I not?
Yeah, you were actually pumping their tires pretty nicely.
Fine. I think you need to rethink this strategy, Noodles.
Yeah, it's fine. I wouldn't want to be on the list.
Yeah,
I don't want to be known as a Torontonian.
No, we're fighting for it next year. Like,
if
we said
on that list and that. No, I'm out.
We have no integrity. We have no honor. We'll do it. We'll sell our souls to get on there.
I go as a group.
There.
Overdrive's on it or nobody's on it. That's the way I say it.
Well, Hayes, you're the captain, or you say you are. Yeah. Would you support that?
No, just me.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't want anybody else. Just the captain.
Yeah. Right, I would be disappointed if you thought any other way.
Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again Monday.
Yeah, you guys too. See you then.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For the month of November, receive free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle that is financed or leased. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or MapleToyota.com. Pair of tickets to give away. Leafs, Avalanche, Nazem Kadri back in town. His only game this year, December 4th. Every day this week, we have been providing you with the clues to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Your final clue: this former Maple Leaf retired in 2003 and currently works as a TV analyst for the Vancouver Canucks. Very interesting clue. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. We're going to hand out our first Instagram handle.
Ooh, because the hell works for the Canucks?
I know who it is. Do you know who it is?
No, I don't.
I do. 100% I know who it is.
Alex
Can I say
Alt.
It or no? I don't.
It's,
no, not yet.
We probably have a winner. Wait. When we come back,
let
you can announce
it.
Our Instagram giveaway, what we've been promoting significantly, Superfan Spring Break.
Yep.
We're going to do that as well. Sheldon Keefe coming up at 6 p.m. Chris Cuthbert, the voice of the Grey Cup.
Yes.
At 6:25, future headlines still to come. It's 28 minutes past the hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Sheldon Keefe in a half an hour. Chris Cuthbert, the voice of the Grey Cup. The voice of the Grey Cup.
Did you see that?
I want to ask him if he has, like, a final call planned. Most fascinated by that with broadcasters.
Yeah, like, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. Do you have something in mind, or is it just...
He called the golden goal.
That's what I'm saying. Now,
you have to think about it that afternoon.
Exactly. You can't predict that Ginla's going to chip it to Crosby and he's going to score 5-hole in overtime. But if they do score,
right,
you know, a game-winning goal, if it goes to overtime, I got to believe you're prepared for that. And I got to think if it's a blowout one way or the other, you've got something you got to say. Because that's your big moment. The golden goal. Right?
It is.
Like, it's the Al Michaels.
Gord Miller had, I think, the Jordan Eberle call or whatever.
Absolutely, he did.
For the World Juniors.
Mm-hmm. How do you think CC would have called your face when that barbecue sauce arrived?
Well, there's
that's the golden goal, right?
Significant
there.
Infraction.
Well,
it
for the
is the lowest and dirtiest move I have seen.
Yeah.
In 20 years in this industry, I've never seen anything like that.
No,
tell
listen,
them what
I
happened.
I've got no defense here. We ordered pizza for the show, just like we order food every Friday, and I forgot to get barbecue sauce for the chicken bites. And I admitted to that right away. I took the blame because it was my fault.
You should have said it.
But you and the guy, the delivery guy, you guys butcher it. It's either him
or
you every week.
Every week there's something going on. The guy forgets the drinks.
It hasn't been my fault in a while, though. I'd like to say that. But no, Brian, I've seen you mad at a lot of different things, but this was by far the most upset I've ever seen you.
Well, you know what? I wasn't upset.
It's disappointing.
Exactly. I was disappointed in you, Grappler. It's a deep cutting disappointment.
Dude, I got a new routine. If I go through a drive-thru, which I don't anymore. More because I've been dieting. What?
Well, continue.
I will always check what's in the bag because I'm not driving away without barbecue sauce, anything.
I don't.
Because the devastation of getting home and not barbecue sauce being in that bag with a 12 pack of nugs is losing to Detroit in the finals is the only thing I compare it to.
You're right, though. For me, every time I go through one of those drive-thrus, because I don't want to take a shot at McDonald's or A&W or whatever, they always screw my order up.
Every single time?
Every time. There's always something wrong. Today, I took my daughter through McDonald's, because she was at the doctor. We're driving through. Happy Meal. I'm like, can I get a straw with the drink? Yep, it's in the bag. No, it's not.
What about sausage and egg? No sausage shows up.
How is that even possible?
It's just an Egg McMuffin, no sausage. And
no,
it's just...
It's still not bad. Like, let's not pretend like you didn't.
I find it gutting. In soccer terms, gutting.
It's disappointing,
yes,
but still very edible.
You could still eat it.
Very edible. But if you're, like, just dry chicken...
No, if you have 20 nugs and no barbecue, no sauce at all, I'm driving back.
You have to go
so
back.
So you go back.
You have to.
And I want a fresh pack.
And you know what you do? You park and you walk up to the drive-through window.
No,
just give it the Heisman to the guy who's waiting and you say, there was a serious
major
malpractice
infraction.
Here.
Mistake.
Yeah,
that's almost what you
rectify
did.
Rectify this.
I think Al's brother got up and walked out. He was so pissed off about the...
Al's brother was furious.
Yeah,
he was furious. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Like the Grappler, you know, I expect a lot more.
Well, it is.
And it's very disappointing.
Friday, it's been a long week. I mean, the Leafs won last night. It should be happy Friday.
Right,
here.
The Raptors are 10-4, Grey Cup, big football weekend.
And a lot of times I feel when there is a screw-up, he'll come in and say, you know, it's the blame game. Like, yeah, the driver didn't bring the drinks.
Always.
And then he tells Mulls, you know, secretly I forgot to order the drinks. There's
not
a lot
this
of secrets
time.
Behind the window.
I'll give him credit because he took this one on the chin. He did admit it was his own
malfraction.
I
love your signature move every Friday. You guys do your own thing. I had pizza last week and we had Swiss and we did this.
No.
And you're like a rhino at the watering hole in the desert around 5:15. You start sniffing around and then you have the audacity to lose it on the Grappler for not bringing barbecue sauce.
No, it's true.
Yeah, I
need to look myself in the mirror.
When I said, you guys want pizza, and you're like, fine.
I had it for lunch.
Didn't you have it for lunch?
I'm just barreling over you guys to get there. We hit a break and my elbows are up. I'm taking people out.
You were winning battles like it was game 7 of the playoffs in that corner.
That's right.
Over there.
I was Gary Roberts and I just gave my team a speech before I went on the ice. That's how determined I was.
You were, actually. I will
And even,
admit.
The, I'll admit further the hypocrisy. I complained. I'm like, I can't eat these plain.
Yeah.
I took down like 5 before the barbecue sauce showed up. So anyway, yeah, you're right. I do that every single week. I'm not in. I don't want it. I'm trying to eat clean.
The rhino.
I end up eating more than anybody else. All week long, we have been encouraging people to enter for their chance to win 2 spots on TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation from bookseats.com. Well, Friday is here, and it is time to name our winning follower. You guys ready for this? This is the first guy. You're going to have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in at 416-870-1050. The Instagram handle we're looking for, at Mikey Cheese. At Mikey Cheese. All right? You have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call us back at 416-870-1050 to claim your prize. 4 nights in Florida, including round-trip flights, accommodations, and tickets to see Toronto take on Tampa and Florida. And if we do not hear from you in 10 minutes and 50 seconds, you're out. All right? You're out, and we move on to the next handle. Presented by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. All right, Chris Cuthbert at 6:25. Future headlines. Grey Cup. We got to get some action going here. Hamilton.
No, I want Winnipeg. I want Winnipeg. And I know we're local here, and Hamilton's right. I mean, an arm's
length right down
away.
The road.
But I want to see Chris Matthew wear pants. That's the only reason why.
But he doesn't even want to, so who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's why
I want the option for this guy to wear a pair of pants so he can get served in Mexico with his wife.
You're on
I
Winnipeg.
Think Hamilton takes it deep.
I'm on Hamilton. I think Speedy they're more talented. Team. Speedy Banks. He just won the MOP last night.
I get it.
Let's just turn that one into the MVP, no?
I like that. I got to be honest. Because MVP, how do you define valuable? This gets back to your whole how do you define influential.
Exactly.
Outstanding is simple. Who's the best player?
By the way, list that guy created, it wasn't about being influenced. It was about accomplishments. It wasn't about influence.
Well, that's what it was titled.
Yeah.
Well, he just said, we talked about accomplishments. It's like, what was it? Yeah. Best achievements?
I know. It was kind of weird how he described the criteria.
And it was in the 1 year, though. Understood it perfectly.
I tossed him a follow on Twitter.
There you go. Look at you. You're trying to bilk your way in for next year. I know what you're up to. I like most outstanding. I would support that in every league. Because valuable. But valuable, how do you define valuable? Valuable to who?
And I just like the MVP chance.
I like MVP too. You know,
you
why?
Like the acronym.
Valuable, yeah, but I also like the word valuable because you define this. If that player goes south, the organization goes south. If McDavid last year, even though
they didn't make the playoffs.
I know, but I'm saying that guy is valuable to your organization.
Of course,
of
he
that,
is.
That type of play.
But more so, do you know what he is?
What?
Outstanding.
Most outstanding player. He's MOP.
He is. If it was MOP and we got rid of all this, arbitrary, what does valuable mean? Can you be that valuable if your team doesn't make the playoffs? And we just say best player? McDavid would have won the MOP last year.
Yes.
Because as great player. As Kucherov was, and Kucherov was spectacular, he would have been right there. McDavid's better.
Yes.
McDavid is more outstanding.
But then he wins it every year until somebody him off.
Knock him off.
They just hand it and go, here, for the next 7 years, you're going to win.
Knock him off.
Unless you get injured.
Knock him off. You want it? Go get it.
I get it. It just.
I like it.
I like the word valuable.
Do you?
You're valuable to this show as a captain.
Well, thank you.
In the 51st.
Or assistant captain, as the people down at CP24 at 7:21 this morning described you as.
You do enough ass kissing and baby kissing.
Baby shaking?
Yeah, baby shaking.
I can give you a good look at a butcher's ass. Is that how it goes?
What? It's not good.
Anyway.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What?
Tommy Boy McLennan. All right, Sheldon Keefe in 15 minutes. Chris Cuthbert coming up. We'll let you know if we have a winner. Has anyone called in yet, Grapples? No one's called in. Looking for a winner for this super vacation that we're handing out courtesy of BookSeats.com. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Sheldon Keefe in about 15 minutes. Chris Cuthbert live from Calgary, Alberta, ahead of the Grey Cup on Sunday. A great distraction for people out there. They don't want to be focusing on the hockey team, I can tell you that. We got to get back into this Eric Weddle story, too. We touched on it just at the end of the show yesterday, where he's coming over from Baltimore. Now he's with the Rams, and the Rams are playing the Ravens on Monday night.
He won't help with the pre-scout.
He refuses to help with the pre-scout.
That's asinine. They should sit him out.
I really
would cut him. I would just be like, what the hell are you talking about?
He's coming at it from a place of integrity. He's saying, I'm not going to do that to them. I have too much respect for Baltimore. Okay. Let's go out there and game plan and work hard and review the tape.
You want to talk about a guy losing respect in the locker room? What are his teammates thinking? Like, what are you, nuts?
I'll give you a scenario. The Leafs are playing Nazem Kadri tomorrow. Do you don't think Nazem Kadri is going to tell Jared Bednar and his group, this is how you can get to...
He should.
You got to lean on this guy because, you know what? I know he doesn't like it. You don't think that's good? That's competitive edge. Why would you do that?
You should. Now, I guess the difference is Weddle was a free agent, left and signed. Kadri's jaded because he got traded. Barry probably jaded because they got traded. But it's a competitive thing.
When we were in the league, if an older guy in our team thought there was a snot-nosed punk on his own team, He would call his grizzled old buddy on the other team and say, "Run this guy through the boards. He needs a lesson in respect."
Well, Eric Weddle's been in the league for like 12 years. Yeah. No one's doing that to him.
No, I'm just saying the actual like principle of it. I get it, but I don't think
it's appropriate. I don't think it's needed. I don't think anyone would think less of you. It's a totally heroic move.
It's a hero move.
And if you're Jerry Goff, you need the help.
Yeah.
Because the Ravens are coming. And you know Lamar Jackson's putting up points. So Jared Goff is probably sitting there saying, "Seriously, Weddle?
Yeah.
You can't tell me what I should be expecting?"
I don't believe it to be true. Like, I can't believe someone would say it. It's got to be a...
He's going public with it.
I want to create a segment called Hero Move of the Week, or Hero, and we can have the music like, "I can be your hero." Like, I want a Hero of the Week move.
That is the Hero of the
Week. That is
a
Hero
great idea.
Move. Also, Travis Dermott's comments could have been a Hero of the Week move about,
it was the right play.
Yeah.
Even though it's funny.
2 points.
I wouldn't be able to take McKenzie seriously, though, with that stash. Like, he's sitting there interviewing you.
Just cookie dust all over that stash.
Yeah. I wouldn't take it seriously, but it was...
For the right cause.
Honestly, like, he's... Oh, it's a great cause. I know, I'm kidding.
No, I don't.
But Dermott, you would think he's been in the league 20 years. This is his seventh coach.
Yeah.
You know, him and Babs are boys, and Babs knows that I told him this privately, so it's okay with me telling you publicly. Yeah, it was the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely the right move. We support it.
Boys are going to play for Kiefer.
Boys love playing for him.
Kiefsy.
Way we go.
Although, you're right. Dermott probably has a very soft spot for Sheldon Keefe because
played
they've
for
had
him.
Success and all of that. So
yeah, won a Calder Cup.
No doubt about that. It's just... I want to say, maybe on Fridays or something, we can have like a Hero of the Week.
I love that idea.
Hero comment, a hero move. The guy in the hospital bed coaching his college team, that's a hero move.
Yep. Listen, the three of us could be included.
Yeah.
There's some comments that get made on this show where I've said some heroic things.
You have. And Malcolm.
You can be my hero.
Malcolm
baby.
Johnston,
mm-hmm.
who is the editor for Toronto Life. We could make here like we
well
could
we could include
heroes.
That it's
exactly.
A hero move not to have a Maple Leaf in the top 50.
Yes,
you know, and maybe that's what it was, to create a little bit of buzz in the sporting community. Hey, how about this? Although the Raptors are well represented, as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some buzz that there might have been a Maple Leaf going in, and then maybe at the last minute they decided not to.
Well,
who knows what those circumstances.
Where's Pascal Siakam? Where's Fred VanVleet? I would say VanVleet being undrafted, betting on himself. Putting up these kind of numbers, Lowry out of the lineup.
See, my
that's
hero,
influential.
VanVleet, my hero move for him is when he got cut, went and put the bandage on, came back in the playoffs.
Why is Gurdjieff on that list? He does CP24 every morning.
Because I guess
he's a hero.
Gurdjieff,
he's a hero.
His comment this morning was heroic.
That's a heroic move.
That would be my hero of the week. Yeah. Calling you the captain
in a negative.
On a popular show like that, too. Everyone watches CP24.
A lot of people
hey,
watching.
You heard the producer, the director. They said, go live, keep going. Keep it running.
Brick Tamlin's in here.
Exactly.
Loud noises.
I have no idea who Brick Tamlin is.
Sheldon Keefe and Chris Cuthbert in the final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.